Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
If you're a regular listener to Lunchtime Live, you will know we have talked to carers many, many times on this show. It's something we've heard many campaigns about, the support services that are there for people who are full-time caring for loved ones, family members, and the supports and initiatives that are also needed. It is National Carers Week. So over the past 12 months, what has changed for the carers of Ireland? Tracy is with me on the line today. Tracy, who do you care for?
I care for my daughter Willow, who is 8 and a half. Willow has complex medical needs, so she has a cerebral palsy, she's a wheelchair user, she is non-verbal, she's peg-fed, and she has epilepsy. So basically every need is cared for by myself.
Yeah,
and she doesn't have the ability to look after herself, basically.
You've been doing this from birth, really, for Willow, Tracy, haven't you?
Yeah, so yeah. Willow had a significant brain injury. You've met her,
yeah, Andrea. Yeah, I know, many times.
Yeah, so she's a gorgeous little thing. She had a very severe brain injury at birth, and she was actually sent home with the coffin picked when she was 4 days old, and we were told she'd never survive. So needless to say, she's a little warrior and deserves all the care and love we can give her.
Yeah.
So we do it regardless.
It's nobody can imagine, Tracy, how difficult that must have been for you and the family during Willow's birth.
You know, it's like someone drops a grenade in your life and just literally blows it apart. And it's just, you know, you're hit with, I suppose, grief initially because you're told your child's going to die. And then you just have to get up and keep going and, you know, expecting for the first few weeks that she was going to pass and then realising she's not. And then obviously her needs are greater every year as she gets older. So you have no time to actually sit back and look after yourself and that. It's just heads down and you're just trying to rebuild your life. And you're picking up shards as you go. And there's no time for self-heal. There's no time for self, really. It's just, you know, keeping Willow alive, and that's the end goal every single day.
What support services are there for you, Tracy?
Being a family carer is incredibly challenging, and it's actually a title I don't like to call myself because I just want to be a mum. And it was only meeting Family Carers Ireland when Willow was, you know, just around two, realising, oh my God, I'm actually a family carer. Like, I just want to be a parent. So every single support and service you need is a battle. There is absolutely nothing handed to you without paperwork, without a fight, without a challenge. Carers allowances means tested, so you get your carers benefit the first 2 years and you fall off a cliff because it's tested on the means of the home. It doesn't assess the needs of the person you're caring for. So you're constantly fighting fires and you're just trying to keep going every day. And the financial strain, the emotional strain, the physical strain is intense. And you've really got nobody but yourselves. It's like living in a parallel universe at times. You're looking at everybody just getting on. And, you know, every day is a cycle of change. You have no predictability about how your day will go. So it's just really trying to do your best. And the needless, I say it over and over again, fight for resources, services, financial support is absolutely disgraceful. In a country where we just hear that people are 30% more financially better off in Ireland at the moment. Not if you're a carer. You know, we have the same burdens and we're faced with the same challenges of the cost of living, but we're getting nothing else and we're still being means tested for every single thing we can access. So at the end of the day, if the person you're caring for is being let down.
So the good times, the boom times, none of that really brings any benefit or any plus, Tracy, to you?
None of it matters. We're further left behind. It's almost, you know, the invisible cost of care, the hidden carers. They can't see us. Mostly they don't hear us, so they just pretend that you don't exist. And it takes a few people continuously trying to get out and advocate for those carers who have just got so much else going on, they don't have the voice to air it. So it really is like a hidden world. And your resources are the likes of Family Carers Ireland and other charities, and that's who you can link into. It's just not good enough.
Paula's with us as well on the line today, Tracy. Paula, how have things changed at all for you?
Well, firstly, Andrea, thanks a million for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. I've been 11 years caring, and I think it's hard to identify that much has changed, is the truth of the answer. There's more organisations, I suppose, understanding and representational to carers now than there would have been 11 years ago. But, and the HSE is making more of an effort, you know, to provide funding to organisations, to provide support in what meaningful ways they can. But I suppose the role of caring is no harder, it is no less harder now.
Who do you care for, Paula?
So, over the last 7 years, I suppose I've consistently cared for my son, my 11-year-old son who has Down syndrome. Currently, I also care for my husband, who has a physical disability. He has spina bifida and he also had hydrocephalus. And then throughout the years, I also I cared for my mother at one point. She was terminally ill with cancer. I cared for her for 3.5 years before she passed. And I also helped support my aunt with the care of my grandmother for a number of years.
My God. You really are a full-time carer, Paula, yeah. In every sense, aren't you?
The last 11 years have been, I've been a lot, yes. Yeah. But, because I suppose I wouldn't change it for the world.
I know. In terms of the support services that are out there, whether they be state services or charity or community, you know initiatives and help and supports. If you had a sit down with the HSE boss today, what would improve things for you? Like, what would actually be of practical help to you in the work that you're doing?
I don't think there's an easy answer to that because, well, for me personally, I suppose you're looking at the situation with my son and with my husband. And the practicality of caring is huge. Like, some of my biggest work that I do with my husband is around his numerous appointments. We were at one point told we'd have a 3-year wait for a neurologist and fighting for those services that should come easily, especially where a person has a recognised disability, that's a big part. That, like, the amounts of hours, of hundreds of hours of phone calls.
I'd well believe it.
Arguing or fighting, yeah. Like, I'm the one who's chasing all that for my husband. I'm the one who's caring for him. I'm the one in that role. And then there's other aspects of caring, like mental health is huge. I've been a massive advocate for counselling for years. The proper counselling. Like, there's a lot of services out there, like your GP can refer you, but under that referral system, you can only get maybe 6 to 10 to 12 sessions. Mm. And the reality is, when you take somebody like me, and I'm caring for 11 years, that's not practical. It's not a practical support to say, we can give you short-term counselling and then send you away. Family Carers Ireland, they have brought in a subsidised scheme where they try their best to provide counselling. But the same situation, they can only provide so much, they can only provide X amount of sessions. And then carers are faced with a reality of which we have to pay for it. And it's a very big struggle out there in the field of counselling to be able to get affordable counselling when you take into consideration households like mine, where I'm on carers, my husband's on disability. We're paying out for private consultants because he has to take consultants. Like, he's living 3 years with migraines and a consultant won't see him and we've no choice. And then we're having to make choices of what do we pay for? Do we pay for his private consultant or do we pay for my counselling? And a simple mental health piece around the acknowledgement of carers and what we need to support us in our role. I mean, mental health is the biggest thing. Carers' burnout is real.
Well, if you got sick, you know, God forbid, if you got sick today, Paula.
Yeah.
That's your son, your husband. That's two people that rely on you day in, day out, 24 hours a day. Snookered, effectively, if something were to happen to you today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, only a few weeks ago, I got a stomach bug and I was put to bed. My son was in school. And then I got a phone call because the person I arranged to pick him up, he wouldn't go home with them. And I got a phone call where I had to get myself out of bed and I had to bring myself to school, praying I wasn't going to be throwing up on the way over. And it's a 20-minute drive. And then bring him home because all he wanted was, you know, his mammy, and not just his mammy, but I'm his carer, I'm his person, I'm his security. And the reality is, like, even when we are sick, we have no choice. If I ended up in hospital at the moment, I suppose I'm lucky. I have to acknowledge the fact that I have some family members and some family members around us, myself and my husband, where you could make a phone call, but it's not a fix either. Like, if I ended up in hospital for a week or two, we'd be in a situation where we'd be looking, trying to, you know, pull things together in the hopes that it would work.
So it's support. It's greater support for the carers.
Huge.
That are caring for people. And more counselling support services as well, which would seem like an easy fix if we had the supports there in place.
I mean, just an act of acknowledgement of, you know, well, hang on, maybe we need to do a little bit more. I mean, you know, the figures have come out this week, you know, that the family carers are saving 1.6 billion to the cost of the economy, because that's the work that we're doing. If we're saving you that much, why can't you find 100 million or something and fund counselling programs for us?
It's really somebody to sit down, Paula, with you and say, how are you?
Precisely, because one of the biggest things with carers is, if you ask us to speak about the people we care for, we'll have you on air for 2 hours. But if you ask us to speak about ourselves, we struggle. And part of that is because we're not used to being asked. We're not used to talking about ourselves. We're not used to being told, come on, I want to know about you now. I want to be told about you. I want to know what you're going through. And then another part of it is to do with the carer's burnout, which is we use so much energy dispensing it in every other direction that when you ask us to turn that energy on ourselves, our bodies actually go, there's no energy here. You're not going to get much out of us. And the acknowledgement around that and supporting us with that is just, you know, it's non-existent. I mean, you know, there's some things out there, like there's the Family Carers Online Ireland group that's set up the Care Alliance. That's been huge for thousands of us, because we can go onto Facebook and can put up a message and we can go, I feel like I can't do this. I feel like I have no support. I feel like nobody understands, and we can be empowered with peer-to-peer support.
Some even very tangible, you know, suggestions that you'd imagine could be easily worked if we could find ways to resource or to staff them. Tracy, thanks a million for getting in touch and sharing your own story, your own personal experience with us. John is on the line. John, I believe you care for your son.
Well, my wife and myself, she's the chief carer, I'm the chief mouthpiece in the case. Well, yeah, we do. We care for her 35-year-old son who has an acquired brain injury. And, I don't want to go over the same thing as the last two of them. They're excellent speakers. Mm-hmm. But just to add to it, like that girl was talking about, if she gets sick, but I'm on the pension with a couple of years, and the wife is just coming up to it. So one of our worries is going to be, if anything happens to us permanently, what's next, you know, because there doesn't appear to be anything there, or, you know, there's no cover for them. And, you know, we'll bring it on further. We are involved with the acquired brain injury group that we're looking up into Dunleary after a lot of, in typical Ireland, it's who you know. So pushing and pulling with someone that I did know that got us into Dunleary, and we got the number for acquired brain injury, and we were lucky in that.
But it's an interesting point. Sorry, I just got across you, John, for a moment. It's an interesting point you make, though, around, you know, and what I find over the years chatting to people that are caring for loved ones, whether that be yourself or Paula or Tracy there today, you effectively sort of become a politician. You know, you become a lobbyist and an activist, and you have to fight for every...
Well, you have, and you're either lucky or you're not lucky. Like, if you're in a position that you know someone in Ireland that knows someone, you might get something done. If you're Jack, that don't know anyone. I think you're in serious trouble. I was lucky in what I was doing. I had knew different people through different things, and you know, you'd ask a question, you'd ask a favour here and a favour there, and like that's not the way the health service should be run. But what we see is the equal access to services in the country. Like we live right on the border, Tipperary and Kilkenny. We live in Kilkenny, but we're right on the border. And JJ got into acquired brain injury in Clonmel. And, you know, the great service. But then when I looked, the girl that was coming to us, his carer, she was trying to cover 2-3 counties. And we actually, my daughter and myself, we went and caught another family down the road who were in the same position, went on a campaign to try and get Kilkenny taken in. And thank God it ended up with Kilkenny and Carlow being taken in. But the facilities are completely different. Like I was down in Wexford recently at a acquired brain injury thing, and they have a lovely setup, they have a building, and everything is centred. Where in Kilkenny, they're trying to have a meetings for carers in one place. They're trying to look after the patients in another place. You know, and there's nothing there to help them or to give them some place where everything can be pulled together. And then the other part of it is, how many people in Ireland know of acquired brain injury? It's just there's no information out there.
They do incredible work.
Yeah. And we're lucky now. Our group are involved with the Irish Wheelchair Association in Kilkenny, another fabulous organisation. And between them, they give JJ daily exercise, which gives us a break. It's a constant battle.
Yeah, there's concern for the, you know, and I understand that, you know, we're all going to get older, and I can understand the concerns that you and your wife, John, have around that. Can I just ask you off the back of something Paula mentioned there a moment ago, how are you and your wife doing?
Well, We're not doing too bad. We have a monthly, but like we don't have counsellors or anything like that. I think we counsel each other, thank God. But we have a monthly meeting with acquired brain injury where we meet with other families in the same position and we talk over things that come up, and you know. But other than that, so far so good. But if one of us was to get seriously ill or something, well, then I think we could have problems, you know. And the thing that we look into, like acquired brain injury, they have a program called On with Life, and you know, if things like that, if they put that out more for people to see it, or you know, hit the television, hit the radio, like yourself. They also have a new book out, a digital book, piecing it together. And it's written by stories by the families, but it's written by one of the organisers of the association, you know. And if they're on AIBIreland.ie, if anyone wants to try and follow them up.
Yeah.
But
okay.
For a country that's supposed to be as well off, everything you want, you have to fight for. And if you to fight for it, you have to know someone.
To know somebody. And as this texter here tells me, you know, I can't even go in and get a procedure in hospital because as a carer, I don't have the supports to help me with my children. Another listener tells me, I'm also a carer. I have two teenagers with special needs, 14 and 15 years of age. Caring is a role that leaves you extremely lonely and isolated. We're targeted in every single way and from every single angle, even down to the financial aspect. It's unbelievably traumatic on top of it all. We're targeted by social welfare when it comes to cuts because we're too busy caring to be able to protest as much as other groups can. It takes a massive toll on your mental, your physical and your emotional well-being. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. John in Kilkenny, Tracy, Paula as well. Listen, thanks a million to you all for sharing your stories with us because it's never an easy thing to do and we do understand that. So we do really appreciate your time here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.